September 14, 2021. It's a Watt from Pingro show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Happy Tuesday. Start off Liberia for John Coltrane. And Critters Buggin', Booga Dougie. She must be hidden slang. Or maybe some pun rock. You can tell people I'm not man alone because of those software engineers at Stony with their Skype invention. I got brother Brad Hauser with me. Welcome aboard, Brad.
Hey.
Yeah. Who we got to thank for the connect?
Ken Haas from Reverend.
Absolutely. Brother Ken Haas out of Toledo with the Reverend guitars. Of course, the Watt Plower and fellow bass brother. But, you know, I have some Critter Buggin' connects because the Matt Chamberlain thing, right? You know, he grew up in Pedro.
He's from Pedro and Jerry Trebatich.
Well, it's really Trebatich, but you can say, yeah, everybody says it.
Yeah, Trebatich in America. Yeah, Trebatich.
It's Trebatich, yeah. Well, they don't have the C with the little V over it in our way of Roman.
Right.
Right, Roman alphabet. So, anyway, they grew up a couple blocks from each other. But Matt Cameron, the band is played in Pedro. Skrillex.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That was a funny gig, actually. We played. It was at the Common Grounds, right?
No. It was called Sacred Grounds, and it's a block away now. It's closer to the Warner Theater, but you were at the first version of Sacred Grounds. A guy named Dave from Santa Monica started that. It's still going in Pedro, and I remember that gig. But you know, let's go back how you got on... you know, with music and all this stuff, your journey, right?
Right.
Brad, please bring the earliest musical recollection you got.
Actually, the earliest memory I have was going to a hootenanny with my parents, and I remember seeing a banjo player, and that's all I can remember. It was like in Dallas suburb, Richardson, Texas, and man, I was probably like 4 years old or something. And I remember seeing a banjo. So that's the earliest recollection I have.
You know a bass man that started on the banjo that I know?
Who's that?
Chris Kirkwood from Meat Puppets. He said that's why he gravitated to the bass, because he thought the way the starboard hand was working, plucking, thought it was kind of like banjo. So, you know, whatever it takes. If that memory's there, it must have been important, you know, and who knows?
I know, right?
Right. And the pad you grew up in, was there instruments?
No. My mother had played piano as a kid, but we never had a piano in the house.
Okay.
But my dad would sing, and it wasn't until after his death, back in 07, I started remembering his singing. And I was just used to it. But, man, he was a really good singer. He had tuning and timing and a real fat groove when he would sing. And he would just sing songs spontaneously, country stuff and stuff. And I was just so used to it that I just didn't realize what a great singer he was. And
well, you know, the voice definitely is an instrument, probably one of the first ones.
It's the first, for sure. That and hitting the sticks together.
And I think the feet on the earth. Dancing was probably the first drum set.
Oh.
Maybe. It's just a theory I got back. But
oh,
you know
yeah,
what?
That's a good one.
You take it for granted, right? Stuff that's always in your life.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a hard lesson to learn until, like, you lose people, like you said, when you lost your pop. Well, what about the first record you bought with your own money, Brad?
American Pie by Don McLean in Disc Grade.
Big, long song. And what about
I bought it on a cassette, actually. We had a little cassette player, and they were just starting to sell cassettes at the store. Everybody was buying 8-tracks and vinyl, and so I got an actual cassette.
Yeah. You know what? In October, there's going to be, like, a cassette week. I mean, it's coming back, Brad.
Yeah.
Now,
that's
in those
cool
days, I was the 8-track guy, you know, the Dime, the Columbia Record Club, whatever. Because they didn't want people, they weren't, there were some four and eight track recorders, but there was a buttload more cassettes, so the industry, yeah, they frowned on that. They didn't want people making out, but, you know, fuck that. They're gone now anyway. What about the first gig you saw?
Maybe
not Hootenanny.
Well, that would have been it. The first gig I saw? Well, you know, drinking age was 18 when I was young, so I started going to bars when I was 16, and I'd use my buddy's ID, and we would go see cover bands in Dallas, like rock and roll stuff, and they were all really good. There was a pretty high level of playing going on.
A great bass man and drummer team in Dallas was fucking Brother Dusty, right? Frank Beard. Because Billy came up from Houston to get them guys.
Yeah, you know, I always knew of them having Houston roots. And that bears investigating. I think Dusty was from Houston also, and his brother Rocky Hill.
Yeah, but they ended up playing some band called Red, White, and Blues Band or some stuff. I think it was Dallas.
Oh, wow. Because
Billy's band was kind of a psychedelic, England haircuts and stuff. He didn't go for that Lightning Hopkins stuff till a little later.
Right.
But I think there is a connect. I know Billy's Houston for sure, and the band got going there. But there's probably a tour circuit, right? Texas is big. Jesus. And I can imagine in those days. Right, they're touring in station wagons. I read about John Coltrane. He liked country squires.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they weren't really touring in vans yet. That's a later, late 60s, early 70s thing. It's station wagons. And the bass guys had to tie the fucking doghouse to the roof, and that's why Leo comes up with the precision. You know why it's called precision, right?
Yeah, because with frets.
It's got frets, right? Because the doghouse is a giant violin with no chin thing.
I know.
Right. Okay, let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
Well, yeah, actually, when I was 12 in sixth grade, I started on saxophone and took to it really quickly.
Alto?
Alto. And then I switched over to baritone in eighth grade.
Oh, Barry.
And,
whoa.
Okay. And I'm still a Barry player, actually.
Right, Jerry Mulligan.
Jerry Mulligan, man. Yeah.
You know it. And also bass clef. Bring it. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And I played all through school. I ended up in marching band in junior high and did that all through senior year, every year, 7:30 every morning in the fall. Yeah. And
those big fucking heavy wool suits and the sweaty.
It was hot. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
God bless. And I took up bass my senior. I finally got a.
Well, how'd that move happen?
Well, me and some buddies from my church put a band together, and the guitar player was real good. Bass player was not super happening, and he ended up quitting. And I would pick up his bass from time to time and just kind of took to it. And so I jumped on bass and was like borrowing basses and shit.
What was it? Fender?
It was a Pan. The main one was a Pan P bass copy.
Okay.
Which actually was a pretty good bass, and I bet it was made in Japan. And
some of them copies are pretty fucking okay. I played LTD or something kind of jazz from the 70s, and it was fucking great. Cat and the Go team had it. Jamie, look, what about the amp?
Oh, we had a custom tuck and roll head, and we would all plug into it.
Amp for the band?
Yeah, for the guitar and the bass at first, and then another buddy of mine loaned me his custom tuck and roll head. And I borrowed that for a while and would borrow speaker cabinets. I mean, I was just totally on borrowed gear. But when I was in ninth grade, my parents had bought me a pretty decent baritone sax. And I had that through high school. And then at the beginning of my senior year, my guitar buddy was working at a music store. And I arranged and I went and traded my baritone for a 78 P bass.
Oh, wow.
That P bass weighed a ton. Oh,
right,
my God.
Wabash. I know 70s. Did it have three bolts or four?
I think it had four, actually. Yeah, I remember the J basses had three.
Yeah,
and I wanted a J bass.
Well, also Tele basses. In the 70s, they tried that, and you could yank them out of tune. It was bunk.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, we're doing
but
that.
But there was a cool thing about it. They had a little hole there, so you didn't have to take the neck off to shim it with the matchbook cover. You could actually move a little hex nut to get that. Fenders, you can do that. You could change the angle.
Yeah, the neck tilt. Yeah, that was kind of cool, actually.
Absolutely cool. Besides, if you want another body or some shit.
Yeah.
I think Duck Dunn. Duck Dunn used a jazz neck on a P bass body.
Yeah.
What about did this church band? Was it just practice or at services, or did you guys do gig?
Well, we played in church with the choir occasionally, and we just rocked out. We were doing like Steve Miller and trapeze and.
Steve Miller, I think he was Texas, and you know his basement.
Oh, he was totally Texas, Dallas.
Right?
Because
he ended up playing bass for Boss Skaggs, maybe, or some shit.
They had they both went to St. Mark's High School and a Catholic high school in Dallas, and they had a band called the Marksmen.
Okay.
Together, yeah, together, Boz and Steve Miller.
Yeah. Okay. Because you know, yeah, some cheesy AM radio hits, but man, the dude knows blues.
Yeah, that actually the first big arena show I saw was Steve Miller in 1976. Man, they had lasers.
Wow.
They had lasers in their live show.
Is that like Fly Like an Eagle and that?
Yeah, it was. It was right around that period. Yeah. Man, it was a really good show. He had a great band.
Yeah.
And
right, I remember he had a brother who played bass with Upside Down and a headstock and shit. Yeah, he moved to the city, and Boz did too, and that became their home. I think he still does something at Slim's every year. With the blues thing, he comes in and has people come. Look, you gave me this some more critters, the early critters bug in this thing, ARP 2600 versus Drum Ape. That's a title.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off Critters Bugging, doing trippy kind of outtake. So kind of rarity here from Brad. ARP 2600 versus Drum 8. Then brand new from Brazil's Vamos do Limbo. Portuguese people. Do Limbo, not Del Limbo. UB1, the title track. Pete Kane after that. Pat Kane's got a brand new album out of DC area. Great, great album. Gesture. Guided by Voices, Bob Pollard out of Dayton. My limited engagement, limited in parentheses, people. Bombas Prendon. They collaborated over the internet. They worked it so there was big spaces so you didn't have to, well, you do have to deal with the latency. But one day we're going to conquer that, people. We'll be jamming over the thing in real life. Northern Jaw for that brand new Unified Field. Bill Nace, his piece Both. This is part 4 of 8. Pay Dirt, which is Victoria Shen and Brian Day with A La Modem in Mondarity. A lot of modems. A lot of modems. I remember 300 baud modem. Screaming at you. Like a fax machine, right? You picked up.
Yeah, that sound.
Right, you know. Dead Kenny, the Dead Kenny G's. This is a great band name. You upload that to me, brother Brad. Melvin Jones.
Oh, yeah, cool.
What was the Dead Kenny G's?
Well, it was Critters Bugging minus Chamberlain.
Ah,
actually.
Okay.
Like it was me and Mike Dillon and Skerrick.
Yeah, okay, Skerrick, that's it, not Skrillex. That's a clown with the trippy haircut. And works the space bar in the power book. Yeah. Look, what a gig, right? I'm going to pay a lot of bones to see that. But Mr. Chamberlain, he's busy a lot, right? So maybe that's why, right?
Yeah, the band, he just got busier.
Yeah.
And
he moved back here. I think he's living in Hollywood. He wouldn't live back to Pedro, but he's 30 miles north in Hollywood. His wife wanted to live in Hollywood. So
he's like Silver Lake.
That's it. He's
talking. Yeah.
Too far from the water for Watt, but lots of great people living there. Okay, so let's get back to your music journey. So did these guys ever, the band at church ever have a name?
We ended up being called Threshold.
Threshold. That's good, dude.
Not bad.
Kind of. Yeah, it could be worse, right? Jesus.
Yeah.
A lot like there's a band in the Third Hour. It's got the most terrible name, but I like their tunes. But, man, you don't call your band Babes New York City, do you? Maybe New York Dolls, but not Babes New York City. Anyway,
oh, funny.
what happens with your tenure of Threshold?
Well, I ended up going off to college at Texas A&M trying to be an engineer, and that didn't work. But
ah,
I
but
met
you
a
didn't,
guitar.
You didn't pursue music in higher education?
No, I didn't have. I just played, and I eventually did. What happened was I went off to Texas A&M, and I met a guitar player down there, and he eventually became the New Bohemians' original guitar player, and. And we were doing like Jeff Beck kind of stuff like
Texas
that.
Texas A&M, that's College Station. And there's,
yes.
What's the town next to it, Bryan? Or?
Bryan, yeah.
That's right, because I played there once.
Yeah, I'm not
anyway,
surprised.
Anyway, didn't mean to interrupt, but my memory.
No, I'm not surprised to hear you played Bryan College Station.
Yeah. It was an interesting gig. But anyway, your story.
And so... yeah, it kind of ties. What happened was, is then I dropped out of A&M, came back to Dallas, was living at home, and I started going to community college at Richland College, and they had a great music program. And so I took a theory class for a couple of years, did jazz band, took a jazz improv class, ear training class, music history. And man, it was all great. The teachers were fantastic. Okay. I mean, it was badass. And, and during that time, a drummer showed up there just out of high school, and I had landed like a cocktail tuxedo gig doing like New York. Yeah, doing like New York,
laugh,
New York.
I'm sorry.
Oh, seriously. Well, man, it gets better because, like, there were no charts. The piano player had a really low voice. Nothing was in standard key. And all I had was a fretless bass at the time.
Whoa.
And so I literally go into this gig. I mean, they needed a bass player, and they must have been really hard up to get me. I had no experience. I'd never walked bass lines before. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, I'm having to play standards by ear. And wow. It was brutal. It was fucking brutal. Yeah. And like, and I would just basically watch the piano player's hands and try to figure
left
out.
Left hand, right? Left hand.
Oh, man, just try to figure out what chord he was playing. At the end of the first gig, I'm going, man, dude, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm screwing up a lot. And he goes, well, you're a pretty good player, and you seem to have pretty good ears, so keep coming back. And I just kept coming back. We would do Friday and Saturday nights. And that.
Ah, so that was kind of like a classroom.
Oh, my God, yeah. And the drummer that ended up on that gig was going to Richland College, and so I just decided to go there. So, yeah, I had this cocktail gig first, and then because of this drummer, I just decided to go to school there. And it just – so for a while, I would play at night and go to school during the day, and, man, it was awesome. And then, like, in the beginning of 84, I picked up this cover band gig doing, like, Holiday Inns in South Texas and stuff. And with these two brothers from Oklahoma that had a band called Broxton. And I did that for, like, 9 months. And I came back to town, and my friend Eric, the New Bohemians' original guitar player, graduated A&M, was back in Dallas working. And he and I... One night, fall of 84, we got wind of this killer band called Feet First that was playing in Dallas. And they were, I mean, Dallas at the time was, you were playing blues or you were in a cover band. There was nothing else.
Well, and, Cover Street, I remember AAA Rat, but it had different names, Twilight Room to AAA Rat.
Well, yeah, you know, and I didn't know about the punk rock scene yet.
Oh, okay, and, okay. This was by, I mean, I was the Cop Shop, right? Mr. Ruby, I think, might have owned it at one time.
Yeah, the Twilight Room was just starting up. I mean, I, well, actually, like in 82, I went to the Hot Club a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then they closed. And there just was kind of a hole for a while. And we went and saw this band called Feet First. And, man, they were doing, like, reggae and ska and, like, New Orleans Neville Brothers stuff.
Yeah.
And they were great. And they were really and they were really pretty girls dancing who weren't, like, Dallas chicks. And we tripped out, and we go, man, we got to start a band. And he had been into ska at the time and stuff, and I was too, like in Police and all that. And I was going, hey, I know this drummer who's into all this. And so we called him up and started playing and just started getting gigs right away. And that was fall of 84. And then Edie showed up in the spring of 85, and then Deep Ellum started taking off right around that time. And we started playing down there, like at the Theater Gallery and later the Prophet Bar and Club Dada.
Club Clearview?
Clearview, yeah.
Right. I remember that was one of the first ones. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, Brad. September 14, 2021, this is Watt Peter Show, special guest Brad Hauser. Hold tight for hour two. September 14, 2021, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Black Frames, French Farce, then Plastermen out of Ithaca. Tell you something. Planning for Burial, brand new, I think Pennsylvania. Parking Lot Mosh. Yeah, I never heard that. We called it Slam. Mosh was like, wait, yeah, that's revision. Sorry.
Oh, Slam Dance, yeah.
Yeah, the Mosh, that's for people 20 years later pretending they were there. Yeah, right. Planning for, that was Planning for Burial. Then La Flange de Mall. This is Brother Chris Cohn's in Austin, kind of near you. And his project called La Flange de Mall with White Rabbit, not the Just an Airplane one. Luke Isabella out of Sydney with Mustang. And finally, Lucky Dog, Black Frames again. Hip is the Black Frames.
Well, Black Frames was Critters Buggin' with a different drummer. It was with Earl Harvin, who...
So it was like Dead Kenny G's and Black Frames are basically the same band, with, but they're not, even though the drums are different. Okay.
Yeah, and so Earl Harvin was... he showed up in Denton at the same time that Chamberlain did, right around 86 or so. And they were like the top drummers. Harvin is like this most unbelievable musician. He ended up playing with Seal for a few years, and he moved to Berlin.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he's overseas. Great singer, man. Jesus.
Yeah, and so Harvin's one of the greatest jazz drummers I've ever seen in my life, but he also got super into punk rock, and he had this crazy noisy band called Rubber Bullet for a while in the 90s in Dallas.
Yeah. Now, right. Denton, you're talking about the music school, North Texas, right?
Yeah, Denton. Yeah, North Texas.
Right, right.
And, yeah, Harvin ended up being in the 1 o'clock lab band, which is the top band there. I mean, you've got, you know.
But cats would come to, it's up that far from Dallas, right? So they'd come.
Yeah, 40 miles north. Right, yeah, so right. And a lot of people would graduate and just kind of stay in the area and just end up working in Dallas. So the Dallas music scene, there's a lot of really high-level players there because they just came out of Denton.
Sure, sure.
And so Denton kind of fed Dallas that way.
Yeah, makes sense. And so, but you got a chance to play with him and stuff in Black Frame.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. That was a fun band. It was mallet-based. It was basically vibraphone and... Mike Dillon got Skerrick to buy a marimba and taught Skerrick a bunch of marimba parts. So Skerrick would play some sax and a lot of marimba, and it was a real mallet focused band. And
like some of that cab beef. Even Frank Zappa tried that stuff, right?
Oh yeah, totally. Oh yeah,
melodic percussive. It's a trip. It's got its own sound. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, totally.
It's really beautiful. Yeah, Rocket Martin on the bass. Finger picks, like banjo steel finger picks playing bass. And like strumming, you know, out, your fingers out like flamenco, you know?
Right.
Kind of backhand shit, yeah.
I've tried that on bass some. I took up pedal steel a couple of years ago, and so I got all fired up. So I play pedal steel now some, and that's the most freaking insane instrument I've ever dealt
with.
There's
like 10 billion options.
Yeah,
the possibilities are like fucking whoa.
Yeah, the hardest thing is like, whoa, this chord sounds good. Where's the next one? How do I play it? Oh shit! And
all the linkages, right? Which strings get bent? Which don't?
Yeah, yeah. Which pedal?
So many choices. So many choices. But it's incredible instrument, man. Stooges got to have a cat in Austin when we did a South by Southwest. The song James Williamson and Ig wrote for Ronnie. A cat from there came on, you know, like a side band, and he was beautiful. God, I wish I could remember his name.
There's some really good steel players in Austin.
Man, and it's a world of its own. You know, Nels told me, because for Wilco, right, he does some lap steel. He says, what? Lap steel is not pedal steel.
In a way, lap steel can be harder because those pedals make it easier sometimes.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah, you got to get crazy with a lap steel to try to get some of those chords.
You
whereas
know
on
I
a pedal,
to meet? Sneaky Pete.
Oh man, Sneaky Pete Klino. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw at Cherokee in West Hollywood when I was making my wrestling record. Sweet guy, and the brothers. There was two brothers that owned that studio, and one of them lived on a boat in Pedro here, but. Sneaky Pete. Yeah, and I think the purist guys didn't, like, he was trying stuff that they didn't dig, right? Because he was a pioneer. He's pushing it. And
wow.
Maybe some overdrive and stuff, you know, whatever. Everybody gets... I just love the instrument. It's bitching that you're getting into a Brad. You gave me this stuff. Here's another proj. Diamond Boons.
Yeah, that's with my wife. That's new. We just recorded that like 6 months ago.
Okay, let me play it. from Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with the Diamond Booms. Dear True Friend. Have a Nice Life with Deep, Deep. Samuel Lockwood out of Iowa City with Box O' Wine. Sun Watchers, Pedal One. The Suns with Two U's. Brand new, See Through. And again, Diamond Booms with Medicine. So hip is to Medicine. You and your wife.
Yeah, that. Well, Medicine started with a bass, that bass part. I just started playing that and kind of came up with the structure. And then I got that in my looper pedal. I put the whole song in my looper pedal, and then I play pedal steel on it when we do it live.
Ah.
And we've got another song. I actually, tonight, my assignment for my wife's to get one of my other bass lines into the looper so I can play steel on that. And we're going to do a live stream on October 6th on Facebook Live that night. And so, from my page.
Just a duet?
It's just a duet. Yeah, we've kept it just duet, and we're trying to, just kind of do it that way.
And then the way the song, your composition, you start with bass stuff, huh?
Yeah, so far.
I love that. Now, Brad, tell me some influences you got. Bass wise, you look up to some bass players?
Oh my God, John Paul Jones.
Good. I got to meet him once. Sweet guy. Very, very kind man.
Yeah, he was. He had a great vibe. I just met him just for like 1 second in Seattle a few years ago after one of his shows. And yeah, he had an awesome vibe.
I saw him playing in a power trio, blues trio with C6 Steve. C6 Steve. He's a Vermonter
C6 Steve, right.
Right, or a New Hampshire guy who moved to Sweden or something and does blues over there. Nice man, really nice man. And John Paul Jones had no problem, playing his heart out for him. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. Yeah, I mean, he and Bonham listened to all of American blues and R&B. They were experts on it.
Yeah. And anybody else?
Well, Jocko, of course, eventually. And I was into Geddy Lee and Chris Squire. Actually, what happened was I was real into them, and I had a Rickenbacker bass. I was like 19. And at Texas A&M, I ran into a guy who had a bootleg tape of the old Eric Johnson Trio. And it turns out this tape was from a birthday party thrown for Bill Hicks, the famous comedian,
girl. He died young of cancer.
Yeah. Well, Bill Hicks's girlfriend threw a party at her house in Houston in the late 70s for Bill. And my friend Jeff Spaulding was going to high school with Bill Hicks. And so he went to this party, ended up getting somebody made a bootleg cassette of the old Eric Johnson Trio. Was mind-blowing. They sounded like Jeff Beck meets
Eric Johnson, great guitar man.
Oh, man, it was mind-blowing. And so we got a hold of this 90-minute bootleg tape, me and the original New Bohemians guitar player, and it changed our lives. Like, I got rid of my Rickenbacker.
Who was the bass man, Roscoe?
No, it was Kyle Brock.
Okay, okay.
And actually, Kyle Brock to this day is probably my biggest influence. Man, he was playing through a high-watt stack with like an Echoplex and a Maestro bass Brassmaster fuzz pedal, and just, he was like the Texas Jocko, but dirty.
You know, my Texas bass man, besides Dusty, I love Dusty, but Keith Ferguson.
Oh, right. Yeah, man.
Upside Down. OP bass, right?
Yeah.
I got to share a stage with him when he did that little trio called Tailgaters. I love his playing. That guy, I love that bass playing. I love the sound. I love the feel, the groove. Such an inspiration to me. That's why I ask you, Brad.
Well, man, I play saxophone with some of my old neighbors down here in a Zydeco band, and actually the Tailgaters guitar player plays.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah, Don Leedy, he played with us last weekend. I've played with him.
I've played with him three times now. Because I remember he watched the Minutemen set. It was at the Continental Club in Austin. And he said, man, sometimes I do stuff like that. You come up with a little thing, and then you let it go. He was tripping on the tiny songs.
That's
he
awesome.
He was so kind to us, though, because there was a lot of hate towards punk. would you call it a real musician? Not him.
Oh, shit.
Not
right.
Keith. They're the beautiful guys. You don't get that much anymore because I don't know why. It was lame in those days. We're at the end of the second hour. September 14, 2021 edition. Walk Pedro Show special guest Brad Hauser. Hold tight for hour three. September 14, 2021. Third hour. Walk for Pedro Show.
guardato il tuo sorriso mentre andavo in panificio. Poi più tardi ho capito che non ero innamorato. A quel tempo mi facevo, ero solo un drogato. Però adesso sono cambiato, amo solo il cioccolato. Non mi trovo, non bevo niente, vivo solo di cioccolato fondente. Ho guardato il tuo sorriso mentre andavo in panificio, poi più tardi ho capito che non ero innamorato. A quel tempo mi facevo, ero solo un drogato, però adesso sono cambiato, amo solo il cioccolato. Non mi trovo, non bevo niente, vivo solo il cioccolato fondente. Non mi trovo, non bevo niente, vivo solo il cioccolato fondente.
show. Start the third hour. Back to Critters Bugging. Persephone.
Yeah. Oh, Persephone.
Yeah, Persephone. Persephone.
Persephone. That's how I used to say it.
I was going to make a joke on how idiots who don't know old Greek would say this. Yeah, Persephone. Under Mars. Well, you know, when they say, hey, it looks all Greek, that's because they got another fucking alphabet.
Actually,
ours, right? Yeah, we got ours from the Etruscans.
Totally.
Right? Critters Bugging. And then Pet Bottle Ninjin with While Sitting. Pedro. No, it's actually Pedro, people. Only people live here say it's stupid. Like, sort of like San Jacinto, right? The river. It ain't really. Yeah. What's it called? Town Lake. He goes into San Jacinto, right? But there, yeah, same thing.
Well, any town with a Spanish name in Texas is not pronounced with the right. Spanish pronunciation.
Well, what about the big town in Kentucky, Lexington? Their main street is Versailles. So they.
Oh my God!
French too.
That's Versailles. That's egregious. I'm sorry.
Well, Pedro's pretty bad, but we don't say fucking Fry Joe's or Tortillas. Jalapenos, we're not that stupid. No, right. And here's that band name, Babes New York City. Pedro's dirty, little dirty song. Love and Low Resolution from Bad Blood Exhaust out of Germany. Totala out of the French part of Switzerland. No, Italian part of Switzerland. Fuck what? Totala with Cioccolata Fondente. I'd screw up Italian too, people. Ex-girl, this got your wife. I should have had it in the fucking block of music with diamond booms. Fucked up again. Sorry, Brad. And this is Hedakori no Otokoto.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah, a little bit. I'd screw up Japanese too. Critters Bugging, finally with Dorothy. Okay, so how do you get in Critters Bugging, Brad?
Well, you know, Chamberlain was the second drummer in the New Bohemians with Edie, and he joined after we made our first album, and he was in for like 3 years, and then the band broke up spring of 91. He ended up meeting the Pearl Jam guys, did a short van tour with them when they were unknown, and filmed their first video in Seattle at the end of that tour. That was like summer of 91. And he ended up moving there, and he got there, and he'd been there a few months, and he was like, dude, there's like gigs everywhere. You got to come out here. And I was in upstate New York for a year at that time and just kind of languishing. And so I got some money together, moved to Seattle, and we started Critters Bugging. He had already met Skerrick, and so he and I started playing with Skerrick, and it just kind of blew up immediately. And we booked a gig at did you ever play at the OK Hotel in Seattle in the 90s?
No, I didn't, but I knew about it.
God damn, that was the best place ever. Oh my God, man. You could see Bill Frisell there. John Zorn came through there. There'd be punk rock. Queens of the Stone Age did their first Seattle gig.
What I remember
there
about those days was no underage pads in Seattle. No underage. They were all.
Well,
you might have not been aware of that because, you know.
Well, right? There was a little bit, yeah, but there wasn't much.
I played this thing downtown called the Town Pump or some shit. It was like a frat club.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was hard to play. In this time period you're talking about, it was kind of tough. Some pads didn't stay open more than. Well, fuck, there was time when there was only one club in Portland. You know, the whole Northwest was kind of bleak for a while. So, okay. It's Matt Chamberlain who brings you in because of the old connect with
band. With Edie and the band.
Yeah,
and so, and we started up Critters, and man, just people started showing up right away because Skerrick had this big band called Sad Happy. It was like an instrumental, like prog trio with him and a really amazing bass player named Paul Hinklin. And they did like real, like fusion-y prog rock, and man, they blew up in Seattle in the early 90s during the grunge years.
Yeah.
And they had broken up, and so when Skerrick started playing with us and we started gigging, just people started showing up because they knew who Skerrick was.
Okay, so they had a little built-in thing.
Yeah, because he's got charisma and magnetism.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a great cat.
And, yeah.
He knows how to work a room and stuff. And also,
he's
a good musician.
I always thought of him as like this mad carnival barker on acid.
Well, you got to sell it, right? You got to sell it.
You got to.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you gave me some more careers. Brozo the Clone?
I love that song. Okay.
Well, another way is to read 10 ways to live longer. This is a magazine that will continue to maximize your chances of living a long and healthy life. The book starts as a popular paperback sales book. $4.95, but you won't have to pay a cent for it. The Life Extenders book is yours for free. Just for trying prevention. Prevention, of course, is America's most popular prescription method to live longer. Health magazine. Every month, prevention brings new hope to people who have given up a nagging ailment, given up on a nagging ailment, brings new enthusiasm to those who are sick and tired. The stages of prevention are just a few of the things really exciting health disabilities. For example, how to prevent a stroke, and ways to deal with vitamin C, most effective ways to treat arthritis, the vitamin that can manage depression, and much, much more. So call right now, toll-free number, 1-800-345-8000, and for your subscription to prevention for just $12.97, and you'll receive the Life Extenders book for free. That number once again is
out the shears and get ready for the mullet cut.
Walk for Peep, our show, last music for this edition. Critters Buggin', Brozo the Clone, which people have been enlightened by Brad with the knowledge it began as drummer composition.
Yeah.
Chico Hamilton couldn't get songwriting credits in the 60s. Oh, drummers can't write, so fuck that. If Bawana, this is Accident Free Households. Yeah. Armand Golis from Chester, New York, talking to his buddy Crank Sturgeon yesterday. Kishibashi was on the show last week. Cascades, Rebelicious by Los Skeletons out of South London. And finally, best title, Mullet Cut.
Critters, oh, yeah.
Who wants a mullet cut?
Ed from Ohio had one in your Brave Captain video I saw.
Ed from Ohio. Yeah, though, I remember they were from French TV. They filmed that for free near my prax pad. You know, I've had the same prax pad for 35 years at Old Army Base. They closed down.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the officer's head. I tore out all the shitters and put in a bulkhead and a hatch and some rug. 35 years. Nothing like having a prac pad, right? So, right now, your current thing is Diamond Booms?
Yeah. Yeah, Edie and the band, we played a handful of shows. We're not doing much. I play locally in Austin a lot. I'm just one of the local guys kind of in the circle there. And I've been playing upstairs at the Continental Club Gallery on the weekends with a great guitar player, Josh Perdue, and a piano player, Matt Hubbard, sometimes.
You know, the co-owner, Terry Pearson, he was doing sound in Ballard at the Tractor Tavern. Just a little aside, talking about Austin people and stuff. Because Continental Club's first club Minutemen played in Austin.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, wow.
That pad goes way back. That pad goes back. And like I said, I also got to play there with Tailgaters, Keith Ferguson. Very sad we lost him, but
you know, I don't
fuck with heroin. But he just, I just love the way he worked bass, man. I think he was southpaw, so it was upside down.
Yeah, he played left-handed through a right-handed bass
like
upside
Jimmy.
Down
yeah,
and played
like
it.
Jimmy. Now Diamond Booms, does it do gigs or is it just recording projects?
We're starting to do gigs. You know, we started during COVID, actually. Our first gig was a live stream.
Yeah.
From Dallas, actually, at the Deep Ellum Art Company. And we've only played one live gig down here. We're still getting our set together and still writing songs. So, yeah, it's kind of ongoing. Her band, we met during South By 2 years ago, and her band, X-Girl, was playing at their headlining Japan night. And I had met her at the end of the Edie show that we did, and she introduced herself and said, "Hey, come see my band." And I was like, they were playing at 1 a.m. on Friday night. I was really tired, almost didn't go, and I was like, "Man, you better go." And I did, and they knocked me on my ass. They floored me. It was like this, I mean, I was expecting some, like, Hello Kitty pop shit. Seriously. And, man, they came out, and it was like this post-punk prog rock assault.
Man, and there's cats over there that can play like crazy.
Oh, my God, man. They were mind-blowing. And they have these three-part vocal harmonies that sound like the Bulgarian Women's Choir meets the Andrews Sisters. I mean, it was sick.
And you guys can marry.
Yeah, I fell in love with her basically during her set. I mean, I already thought she was cute, but then after that, I was like, "Oh my God, we got to get together. We got to start a band. We got to do this." And I ended up going.
Is there a Diamond Booms website?
We just have an Instagram page right now. We don't have a website up, and our thing, our four song EP is available on Bandcamp.
Yeah. Okay. So. Diamondbooms.bandcamp.com. Okay.
Yeah, Diamond Booms with an S, yeah.
Right. DiamondBooms, people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's, what about, we call it, it's a lullaby EP. It's four very mellow songs. It's good for bedtime.
That's okay.
I love it.
It takes a lot of colors to make a rainbow. It's all right. It's
right. That's right.
And what's the status on the Critter Buggin?
We are defunct.
Whoa, it's over. You take it's the L over. Out of lover, and it's over.
I know.
So we're going to put a fork in it?
Yeah, the fork's pretty much in it. We, you know, there. I don't know. It's not, It's not done until somebody dies, but there's, I don't know. It's no, not,
I understand.
It's not
I understand. I don't want to. Yeah, there's enough drama, probably. They don't need one dog pile.
You know, I have a funny story involving you that, because we opened for your band, Banyan, like in 97,
yeah.
I think.
Not my band, Steve Perkins' band, but I played.
Yeah, you were playing. And what happened was, I used DR Strings. I'm one of their endorsers, and I know you were using them.
Yeah, I like them a lot. I haven't been using them lately, but I like them a lot. They're great.
Okay, so check it out, man. We were like on tour, and I needed a new set of strings. I was playing DR Lowriders, and I just beat the shit out of them. My set just finally died after months. And that day, I'm thinking, man, I need a new set of strings. Well, we get to the gig. You guys played. Y'all played first, and the stage was completely cleared. And the only thing on the stage was a brand new set of DR Lowriders sitting there on the stage right where you had been standing.
Because I used to break a lot of strings. So I would put a pack in my Levi right in the waistband in the back, and it must have fallen out.
Yeah, dude. And it was that day. I mean, and they were Lowriders. They were the exact strings I use in the exact gauges.
It was meant to be, Brad. Meant to be.
Dude, 105. I tripped the fuck out. I'm like, what in the hell is going on here? I mean, they just fell from the sky. Here.
Fell out of my
Dude, I couldn't believe it. I tripped the fuck out. I mean, I was like, because I mean, it was literally that afternoon. I'm thinking, man, I need some new strings, and they were the exact ones
I
was
using.
I'm
glad I could do that for you, Brad. I'm very glad I could do that.
Dude, that blew my freaking mind.
Okay, well, I'm happy to help and to aid the bet, huh? And when you get some more diamond booms, will you come back on the show?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Truly honored to have you on base, Brother Brad. People, it's been September 14, 2021, Dishwap Pedo, so keep your powder dry.